Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Okay, we're back again, Marianne.
Hi, Emily. Glad to be back for another episode.
Yes, hello to you. And today we're talking about thought leadership and building trust in the B2B relationships and how you can do that using all different types of tactics. So we'll just kind of talk through them and see if any of our listeners resonate with that.
I love it. I think that's great. Let's dive right in. Where should we start?
Well, I think let's just start generally with like, what is thought leadership? I know it's kind of a buzzword and people hear it all the time. And I think some things qualify as thought leadership and others don't. And I just think people get in their heads a little bit about thought leadership.
Totally. That's true.
So I guess, what would you define thought leadership as for someone listening?
For someone in B2B, thought leadership is just sharing your insights, your strategies, your, experience and innovations that shape how you do business and how you, serve your clients, really. I mean, I think that an intentional way of sharing that would be what thought leadership is.
Yeah. And I think the reason people get in their heads so much about thought leadership is like thinking about the difference between thought leadership and like a personal brand, right? And I think they're kind of one in the same, right? Like you create this personal brand for yourself through thought leadership. Like I almost feel like thought leadership is like you're putting yourself out there, you're doing, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of thought leadership, right? Like you could start a blog, right? That's like very basics, but you could also like just post on LinkedIn often and share things people want to hear and coach and teach, you know, what you're really good at and share that. You could create a podcast. Like a podcast is a perfect example of thought leadership. It's just, you know, sharing insights and thinking. And then with that, you build your personal brand.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of feel like the difference is like personal brand, I don't think of as much in the B2B world. So in the B2B world, I think personal brand is just what we consider someone who's sharing their thought leadership. I think a personal brand is more like B2C. I don't know if that's correct, but that's kind of how I think of it. And then as far as like touching on the content creation thing you were just saying, yes, when you share content as a brand, I think that's how people typically think of inbound marketing and marketing in general, sharing created content as a brand. But when you're sharing content created for your business as a person, it's thought leadership. But it's really only thought leadership if you give some insight.
Yes.
If you have something to say in addition to it, or why it's valuable, or how to use it, just reposting content from your company,
right?
You being a thought leader.
Yeah, just reposting content is not you being a thought. Like reposting content of anyone else's or of your business's you know, like just reposting it is not thought leadership, but that key, like just what you said, is adding in additional information. So adding in why your readers or your listeners or your...
So what's the value?
Yeah. Like why do they care? But kind of almost summarizing it and then adding additional context to it.
But I really feel like the term is very overused, frankly.
Totally
overused. But I do think that every single person listening to this right now has somebody that they follow and is a thought leader that they follow and are interested in, but they might not identify it in that way. But if you're reading something that somebody posts that it feels authentic to you, where you can understand them, you're learning their expertise, they're providing value to you on business thoughts, then that is what thought leadership is.
Right. Therefore, they're a thought leader because, I think of thought leaders as, you know, adding, you know, authentic, adding context to, you know, make sense of things in, you know, in the larger scheme of whatever it might be, whatever the industry or business is. Right. And also consistency, I feel, is really important in thought leadership. Like just posting one time or just having one podcast or just going on one person's webinar or whatever. Like that's not, I would say, like true thought leadership. Like a true thought leader is someone who is consistently putting out new information and helping right. make sense of different topics.
The term sense makers is kind of trying mm-hmm. to get out there as well. And that it's much of the same. Trying to make sense of what a thought leader is saying. But I totally agree. The consistency really helps build trust in the B2B sales cycle. So saying something thought-provoking once is wonderful, but the consistency of posting, of putting content out there, of sharing value is really what helps you to stand out and is really important for the B2B process, because building that trust earlier in the process and along the process to get you through the close is crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some strategies for our listeners to, you know, maybe you're interested in becoming a thought leader or, you know, thinking about how you might put out thought leadership content. So let's think about some strategies that someone could, you know, leave here today and start maybe brainstorming or building some kind of calendar for themselves to, do some effective thought leadership.
I mean, I think the easiest place to start and a good place to start that's not very overwhelming is using the content your company already has. So I know something we do all the time is create sales enablement content, create marketing content for our clients. And then, of course, create strategies for marketing to use that. But the strategies for how sales can use marketing content are equally as important. And so if you want to be a thought leader, just take some marketing content, take some sales enablement content, start posting it and adding your thoughts. What do you think of when you see that? What was your last experience of talking to a prospect that relates to that? Talking about what you're doing every day, your experience in sales, the conversations that you're having, other prospects will want to hear that. And I think it will help them in their own process. So taking content, any type of content, right? All the things that your marketing department is already creating, blogs, videos, podcasts, landing pages, website. I mean, it could be a website page. If you're like, oh, yeah. my company doesn't create content. Well, if you have a website, your company does create content. Take information from the website. Give your 2 cents on that. So start with content that's already created.
Yeah. I would also say in terms of content, follow or subscribe or whatever to publications or newsletters that complement what you do. So, you know, if you're in, I'm just making up an example, like radio sales, maybe subscribe to some like radio, you know, newsletters or, you know, information on, you know, trends in media or, you know, anything so that you can see new information and then share that with your network of people and add context, right? It's like exactly what Marianne was just saying, kind of like sense making almost, like take this stat or take this data and then make it applicable to people that you're talking to and, you know, kind of like, you know, I see this article and here's why it matters to you. Here's what I'm understanding from it and what that means for the industry or whatever. Like you don't have to use your content, use your business's content, and then also use other people's content. Another one that I like just kind of a tip thinking is, you know, keep maybe a note on your desktop or, you know, just in your phone. And as you go throughout your day, write down you know, interesting conversations or a good question you were asked or, you know, write these things down. And then, you know, my first thought when I think of like true thought leadership in business is typically like LinkedIn. That's where I'm mm-hmm. like thinking,
you know, where I consume a lot of thought leadership from.
That's where, yeah, I personally consume a lot of thought leadership. That's where when I think of the thought leaders that I'm following and enjoying, it's typically LinkedIn for business. You know, so make note of good questions you were asked or interesting conversations that you had or results you got and make notes of those and then actually go and post about them and explain, you know, if a prospect asked you a really good question on a call, write that down because people probably have that same question and you can, you know, help others understand like that, and then even more expanding on it.
And I mean, I do think that leveraging social media is a great place to start, right? Mm-hmm. It's free. You know, there's a large audience on there, a lot of possible and potential prospects for you. It's a good digital channel to start with. Any social media, I would just say, like, where you feel most comfortable is probably the best place to start to get mm-hmm. going. I agree. I know you and I both consume a lot from LinkedIn, but my husband's in SaaS and for sports technology, and he's on Twitter a lot. So yeah, it can be Twitter. It doesn't have to be LinkedIn, but free social media is free and you can reach a lot of people. So it's definitely a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good thought leadership avenue is looking at, you know, local speaking events or even like larger speaking events, chamber events, you know, anything that you could go and get your, you know, information out and be thought of as like a local community thought leader. And then, you know, using that content that you presented to them and further expanding on it on your LinkedIn, right? Like, you know, maybe posting, I had a really good, you know, presentation at the chamber today. Here are some things we covered. And then using like everything you do, use that as fuel for additional thought leadership content. Maybe you write a blog for your company or whatever. I just think of like thought leadership in general as just continuously positioning yourself as the expert in any capacity, just making sure that everyone around you knows that you're the expert. Like that's kind of how I think of thought leadership in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think that, and I would say, I would add to that positioning your authentic self. So I think having the opportunity for people to feel like they know you before they've actually talked to you helps build that trust. So yes, they know you're an expert, like you noted. And then I would say additionally, just they know that they can trust you. They know that you're smart. They know that you are dedicated. They know that you are doing X, Y, and Z, whatever you post about. So really it's like an opportunity to get to know people.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a good segue into how AI plays a role into this, because I think the personality piece is, you know, key, but also, you know, thinking about how AI and technology can impact thought leadership without taking away from the person or the, you know, the personality behind the posting or the speaking. Do you have any thoughts there?
I guess I just like, when you first said that, it just kind of made me laugh, because when we first started this podcast, we were like, we need an episode about AI. And now just in the 6 months or so we've been doing this, AI has sped up so much that AI is incorporated into everything that we talk about. So whatever the episode is about, whatever type of marketing or sales enablement content that we're talking about on this podcast, or you all in B2B are thinking about, AI should be incorporated. Mm-hmm. And thought leadership is no exception. I mean, it just isn't. You should be using it in a lot of the same ways that you use it for marketing and for your website, everything else that we talk about here. So content generation ideas, trend analysis, and how that incorporates with what you're talking about. I think there's tons of different ways you can use this for thought leadership to really help you get started.
Yeah, totally. Just thinking of me like personally and how I use AI with thought leadership, I will often have you know, ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever, I'll go and I'll ask it to create like a personal thought leadership content schedule for me. And I'll explain like what I do and what my followers are interested in and like day-to-day activities and trends. And I don't have it actually write the posts for me necessarily at first. So like first step is have it come up with like almost a strategy for you. Like, you know, you might say, I want to post every single day of the work week, every business day. And I want to post, you know, a third party article one day. I want to post, you know, this one day, and then maybe like a real life case study one day, and have it like actually spell that out for you. It'll actually put it in a calendar. And then you can have it help you write it or think prompts for it. And then you can actually use like LinkedIn scheduling to schedule it all out for yourself. And, you know, I'm talking LinkedIn, there's Twitter, there's all other kinds of things. You could have it think through a social, you know, personal thought leadership calendar for you that spans way further than LinkedIn. You could have emails going out. You could create yourself a LinkedIn newsletter. Like there's all kinds of ways, and you can use AI to actually help you strategize that.
I love the idea of helping it strategize with the AI, because I think people think of it as something that can just rewrite something or, but I find myself going to use AI for thought leadership to help me bring in statistics or recent mm-hmm. news that I'm not as aware of or don't think top of mind, I should include X, Y, and Z that's happening right now in politics. I mean, maybe politics isn't the best example. We don't really know this about politics, but I just think that incorporating recent events and, you know, linking to news outlets that are incorporated with your industry mm-hmm. and how that can be put into what you're saying, because often I'll have like a big idea I want to share, but I don't always have all the stats to back it up and I don't want to spend the time to do that. So AI typically helps me with that.
Totally. Yeah. So with spending time using, you know, or with spending time on thought leadership, with putting an emphasis on it, you know, is there anything that comes to mind as far as like measuring the impact? Like, I know people only want to spend time, you know, doing things that are actually going to impact their performance, right? Like if you're a seller and you're going to, you know, spend your time and energy doing thought leadership right. and really being intentional about it, like, how do you know it's working?
This is where we lose people, right? they feel overwhelmed by doing all of the things. And I don't think people don't do it because they think it won't work. I think most people think it would work, but they don't know how to measure if it's working for a certain amount of time before they're closing deals. So mm-hmm. they just exit out. I think people get overwhelmed by that and think, I don't even know what I should be counting. So I love that we're going to talk about that right now, because there are tools and there are methods and there for like accessing and analyzing if it's working for you. And they're not the same for everyone. It's going to be different based on how often you post and what your industry is and how many LinkedIn followers you have to start. Right. But I think that engagement metrics on social media make a difference. How many people mm-hmm. are interacting with it and commenting and resharing it. I think that, I mean, in our business, at least we have people who found us and reach out to us on LinkedIn. So we know that it's working because they're actually there. They follow us there. And even if they've never interacted with a post, they're reading them. And we've closed deals in the past month that of people who just know what we do because we're active on LinkedIn and have reached out to us. So obviously closing deals is a way. What am I forgetting, Emily? What would you say to measure?
Well, there's a couple of things I would think of. One is obviously like growing your following, like followers. But you know, while you were talking, I thought of two different things I wanted to mention. One is it's not just about posting your own posts. It's also about interacting with other people's posts. I think that's important when we think of thought leadership, because, you know, someone might post something and you don't necessarily agree with it. And there's a way of sharing your thought leadership in that comment of disagreeing, right? Like you could say, I don't necessarily see this in my line of work. I see XYZ. Like you can almost like share your experiences through other people's posts. And that's, you know, people recognize your name, then they see you posting. It kind of is that like chain reaction of like, oh, this person is like actively engaging with others. So that's one thing I wanted to note. And then the other thing is, if you start like actively thinking about being very intentional about thought leadership, write down your numbers, right? So like write down your followers number, write down your connection numbers, write down number of likes, you know, reach, all of that. And then look again in 3 months. Like I recommend that, because it's hard to, I think, see the growth day to day, but over extended periods of time, I think you'll see actual growth. Mm-hmm. And then I did have one more thought is after you book a meeting, or before you book a meeting or whatever it might be, connect with the person on LinkedIn, because
good idea. Yeah, that's a good one.
You are going to immediately become more credible to them once they see what you're posting, right? So like you might be trying to get in with someone, go ahead, connect with them. They're now, you don't have to sit in front of them and sell them on anything. They're going to see in LinkedIn that you are the expert that you say you are. And then when you meet with them, it's like adding to that expertise. So that's just something I had to think about. But in general, I think overarching thought leadership is very similar to the marketing word of like branding, right? Like it really is.
That's so true. That is so true.
Like it's hard to measure. Like it really is. It's hard to measure because, you know, someone's not going to say, hey, I'm buying from you because I saw your LinkedIn posts. Like it's hard. I mean, some people will for sure. Like Marianne said, just this month, we've had someone sign on with Lazy Two, who found us from LinkedIn and was following our posts. But you know, most of the time you're not. And most of the time they're going to, it's a combination of you being well-spoken, being a good salesperson, and they see your posts and they see you're commenting on things and they also saw your podcast.
And they're not going to be able to consciously say, I am able to sign this contract with you because I felt like I could trust you earlier in the process because I've been reading your LinkedIn posts. No one says that.
No one says that. Yeah. So it's hard to actually like track it. So I think the moral of the story is if thought leadership is exciting to you and you feel you have the understanding and capacity to do it. Like, I don't think that there's a measurable KPI that you could be like, you know, it's working. Like, I think you just have to stick to it. You have to continue to do it. You have to be consistent about it, and it will help support your efforts.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So pitfalls to avoid.
Yep.
Inconsistency. I mean, I really feel like the biggest way to make an impact is making this a habit. And it does not have to be a take over your life, an hour a day habit, but it should be a whatever you can make time for and room for, it needs to be a habit. It has to be consistent. I think inconsistency is where people get lost.
Yeah. People will post like one time on LinkedIn and then go on like one person's webinar. And, you know, that's great. Do it. That's awesome. But don't expect like real results from that, right? Like it's the longer term. It's the long game when it comes with, yeah. I mean, really is. It's the long game. Like it might be 2 years before you see true fruit of your labor. You know, it's like it takes.
But if you're consistent, I don't think it always. I don't think. I feel like 2 years would be extreme. It could take a lot.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it might be faster, but you know, under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, sure.
And then I would say also neglecting to engage with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People get in the zone and they follow their calendars. Oh, I'm going to post 4 times this week and I did it. Why is it not growing? But it's like, okay, you have to be a human and interact with others as well and like things and comment and just be
that's person. How people find you. Yeah. I mean, that's how people find you. Like, you know, you might comment in someone else's post that in your comment really like resonates with someone reading through the comment section. Then they go to your page and they follow you and then they're following you for several months and they're like, oh, this is interesting. What does this person do? And you know, that's kind of how it happens. Yeah. It's like a little bit more organic. So yeah, commenting, being a human, interacting with other people.
It's just another place to be a human. Go be a human, people. You're already thought leaders out in the world in your prospect meetings. Just go do it online where more people can see you.
Yes. Only one more pitfall is only sharing your own thoughts. I think the best thought leaders, at least that I've experienced and followed, are the ones that bring in other people's perspectives and thoughts into like their larger post, because you're the expert, but there's people doing like actual research and studies out there. So use that information to, inspire your posts.
Sure.
And stay on trend. Like if you're just, you know, saying the same things over and over and over, like it's not gonna hit home as much as if you're like, you know, saying things no one's heard yet and it's exciting to people.
True.
There's a lot of the same content out there right now.
Okay, hey! Any more questions?
Yeah.
Right. You want me to read you the first one?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. It says, my team is great at building relationships, but we struggle with the close. What are some actionable ways to improve closing techniques without coming across as forced or pushy?
I love this. And I actually feel like I think that a lot of what we've talked about today actually relates to this because this question is unrelated to today, but I do think that it kind of ties in nicely because, you know, there's ways to not sound pushy in the close, right? Like you could you could give a timeline, give a solid deadlines, and then follow up accordingly, saying things like, I'm going to follow up with you next Tuesday if I don't hear from you before then. Saying like, this price is only good for 10 days, things like that could be not pushy, just like, you know, this is our policy. This is what we do. But as you read that question to me, I'm like, well, gosh, if you are positioning yourself on social media or, you know, through other people's podcasts or webinars or going to speaking engagements, and you're really a thought leader out there in the world, like you have things to share with someone that are not just, hey, are you ready to close? Ready to sign? You know, you could really use some of that. Like, for example, if you hang up.
Sales enablement.
Yeah. I mean, it's really sales enablement, but you could say, hey, I have this, you know, speaking thing coming up next week if you're free to join, or I have this, you know, whatever. Like you could actually use that as momentum to keep the conversation going, which I kind of like. Like I think that is nicely tied together.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like pushing the close. It's just continuing the communication through your thought leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're continuously positioning yourself as an expert and they can either sign or not. You know, it's like almost that vibe of like, I presented this to you. It hasn't closed yet. You know, I know you're still thinking, but come do this or read this or join this or, you know, whatever it might be, you're like almost continuing to keep them in your network. And then you're hoping that they sign soon. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know, that like kind of continuous conversation.
Also, whoever wrote that in, send us another email, because I feel like we could have a longer conversation about that and ask more questions, because that's a very broad question. So, you know, we could dive more into that.
I agree. Totally agree.
I'm curious to know more. Okay. The next question we got was, I keep hearing about RevOps. What is that exactly? And is that something you recommend that teams adopt? If so, where do we start? Ooh, loaded.
Loaded question. I do feel like RevOps has really taken a, front seat in the marketing world lately. I think it's definitely a buzzy word these days. We're hearing it a lot. I think it can be terribly overused.
Calm down, RevOps people.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's terribly overused. However, I like the concept.
Yeah.
I think you asked, what is it exactly?
Yeah. How
and I think, so if I was defining RevOps for someone and you know, really defining it in terms of like, what is like a normal marketing and sales, you know, like what is that? And then what is RevOps? So RevOps is really, it's a strategy that combines sales, marketing, and customer satisfaction and customer success. So it's like all three of them together.
All three fall under revenue operations. That's what
RevOps. Yeah. So someone who's like very strategic in RevOps is thinking, how can I market, sell, and delight someone, you know, I'm the same person. I'm thinking about all of it together. So it's like aligning shared goals, maybe around like selling and retention, creating workflows that are, you know, through the entire process, all the way through delighting a customer after the sale.
Yeah. Optimizing your whole process, not just sales or not just your marketing strategy, mm-hmm. not just your customer success, like optimizing the entire process.
Yes. Yeah. And using all of the data, right? Because like a lot of times we hear like sales and marketing alignment. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't at all take into account the actual customer and why they might leave or why they might stay. So it's
that's when RevOps got trendy.
Yeah.
Sales and marketing alignment was the trendy buzzword before. And then mm-hmm. it was RevOps.
Yeah, totally. So you also asked, is this something you recommend that teams adopt? And I think yes. I don't know that you have to call it RevOps. Like you don't have to use the word, but I definitely think every business would be doing a disservice to not consider the customer success and retention side of things. Marion and I always say like, you can't fill up a glass if it's leaking from the bottom. Like you have to keep customers, you have to keep them. And I think that that's what RevOps does. It takes all of that into account and helps kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So yes, I agree. The answer to this question is we do recommend that you adopt it, but I think there's like smaller strategies that, or almost smaller jobs that can be done to adopt RevOps and like outside of just chief revenue officer, that's their job. I mean, chief revenue officer is RevOps, but what falls below them that someone can also be incorporating all three and not just work in a silo of sales or a silo of marketing or a silo of client mm-hmm. services.
Like it's you know, an example could be like a marketing campaign that you get sales behind that, you know, you go to customer success side of things and figure out all the customers that left and why, and then have kind of a full RevOps plan to re-engage them.
Or what about a marketing campaign that has to do with asking for recommendations and giving incentives to their current clients, asking for recommendations, giving them marketing to them about what the incentive is, and then having sales sell it. You know, I feel like there's lots of ways you can definitely come up with campaigns that include all three. So I got that. I think that's a good like directive from this is how do you adopt it? Try to think of a campaign that incorporates all three of those.
Yeah. Or work with an agency that
does this. Perfect. Yes. Let's wrap up by saying, or call us.
Or work with Lead G2. Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, that's that. Thanks for tuning in. Engage with us on LinkedIn. In the show notes, we'll have our emails and everything. You know, feel free to reach out to us. Follow us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Love talking to you, Marianne. We'll catch everyone later.
All right. Bye, Emily.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.